When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to our Bravo episode of Tender Loving Care with your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. This is the time of the week that we dive headfirst into our beautiful Bravo shows. Kate and I's podcast, Tender Loving Care, which is available on all podcasting platforms, has a new episode each Wednesday. In that episode, we break down a show from the TLC and Discovery Plus network, past or present, and deep dive into the insanity of the content. On Tuesdays, we also have a purely 90 Day Fiancé show in which we cover the current series. Without further ado, let's dive into the outstanding world of Housewives on our beautiful Bravo.
Hi, Polly. Hello.
She's back.
I'm back on the pod.
Woo. She is about a bitches. And I am realizing that this is the first time in so long that we are doing it together again and recording it, video recording it. So I may have been like picking my nose or something while I was reading that intro because I completely forgot that I'm being recorded again. So edit away, Kate. Edit away when you do this one.
Okay.
Welcome back. I want to know, and the listeners want to know, how does it feel to be into the warm, big bosom of Tender Loving Care again after so long?
It feels correct. It feels right. I had, family stuff going on. I needed to go out of state and be with them. And so thank you, Polly, for manning the ship.
Absolutely.
Listeners, I am so happy you got to experience the Polly and Colty dynamic duo. I was listening to that episode yesterday. So fun.
It was true joy to have someone that has never been in the world of the Housewives yet listens to me speak of it incessantly. It was as though he was being born. It was just such a beautiful time. And the aspersions that he cast on everyone on these shows was damning, yet also correct. There was one point in that episode where I just said, Colt, so did you get your eyeballs on John Barlow, Baby Gorgeous, his husband? He's like, yep. And I was like, thoughts? Gay. All right, moving on. He is just...
Everyone was gay.
Everyone's gay. But Kate, there's such a level of stuff to talk to you about, to get your thoughts on. Because obviously I've been whack with all of our listeners who have been so beautiful and so gorgeous, sending in their thoughts and stuff about what, you know, what's been going on in the Bravo world, TLC world. Obviously, we're discussing just Bravo in this episode, but There's a couple of things. I'm going to throw some stuff at you and I want your feedback, okay?
Okay.
Firstly, because we've been so busy, I'm going to list some scandals, some latest goss that's been going on. And I would like you in a couple of words to just give me feedback or thoughts, just a couple of thoughts, okay? Just
quick thoughts, okay.
And if you don't know it, pass. We'll move on to the next. All right. Okay. First one up. Monica suing Heather, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Unaware. News to me.
Get into the, we're circling back. All right. Okay. Ariana playing Roxy Hart.
Ariana can do everything Erica's done. Erica cannot do everything Ariana's done.
Okay.
I think she'll be good. I think she'll be good at that.
Listen, all I'm going to say is I did put a poll up on our Instagram. I'm just a wee bit sick of people that have been on television and on Bravo getting this part because we know what it's like going to theater school. We know like what it's like going to auditions. And it's like, for God's sake, stop giving someone that's a bartender. I am
Didn't she go to theater school?
She didn't go to theater school. She did improv lessons and she takes her comedy very seriously. Right. Don't forget. Okay. Listen, I think she can sing. I think she can dance. And, you know, she came third on the Strictly. And I think she can perform. But do I think she's at level of someone that's leaving Juilliard or somewhere right now and studied, or NYU that studied for many years in theatre and should be on Broadway? No. I'm sorry. The tides are turning. I'm getting a little bit sick of Ariana. I'm just putting it out there.
If they're going to get, but I think you're right. That's what they're doing with that role now. They're just giving it to reality show vixens or whatever.
Yeah.
And my thing is like, if they're going to do that, I think she's the best choice of the
There's
current
talent
Bravo.
There. There's I get it. But can you imagine how upset Sheena Shea was? Because Sheena Shea really deserves it. She's worked so hard. She deserves it.
Yes.
All right. Moving on to this one, which is blowing my mind. I'm super excited to discuss. Alexis Bellino dating John Jensen Johnson. And the fact she's coming back as a full-time housewife to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City with Johnson's ex, Shannon DUI Bedore. Thoughts?
Shook.
I know.
Hold tight to that sobriety.
There is a lot to discuss with that. Am I so thrilled to get Bellino back? Absolutely. And she's going to be with Shannon. Only thing is that, did you know what? They didn't ask Taylor back. And I don't get that. Not even as a friend of nothing.
I mean, all we really got was the little drama about the movie she was doing. I don't know.
I would have.
It's a bummer.
It is. I liked her.
Yeah.
Okay. Last thing, even though there's so much more to discuss, and then we'll circle back to the first thing, is Rachel Levis's new podcast that no one's gonna listen to coming in January.
Tired.
I'm so tired. Now, circling back to Monica and Heather, which is appropriate because we are going to go into Salt Lake City. Kate, what has been going on with Monica and Heather? Okay, very quickly, you know that I had my theory for a long time of what transpires in Bermuda, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to refresh the listeners, we're talking about Salt Lake City, and we know that something massive happens. Well, Heather's on a phone call. She discovers something that is going to blow up in Bermuda. I had said since the beginning, I think it's going to be, they're teasing us that it's going to be something that isn't that big, such as my theory was that they all find out in Bermuda that Monica gave state's evidence that put Jen in jail. My theory was backed up because nobody has mentioned it. And I find it very odd because these women will drag out every foreclosure they've had, every bankruptcy, they'll throw out everything. And they have not discussed this. So my thinking is, that's what it was. And I was like, Kate, this is what's going to happen. Then a couple of weeks ago, we get the news that Monica has sued Heather. Like, she started a lawsuit against Heather's Beauty Beauty Lab and Laser like last year. And now Heather is counter suing. Monica is suing, saying that they did something that wasn't destroyed her lips or whatever. Some of the fillers or all the bullshit chemicals that they put in their body, what something went wrong with it. And it was malpractice. And Heather then initiated a lawsuit back at Monica for unpaid bills. People are saying that because Monica goes by Garcia and then there's a married name and I think there's another name, I'm not sure, she goes by different names, is that while she's in Bermuda, Heather's phone call that we see is her finding out that the Monica so-and-so that is suing her is actually the Monica that she's on a trip with and she didn't know. That's the theory.
Ooh.
That's the theory.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
We are going to find out because we're in Bermuda. But Kate, what are your thoughts? Because I'm not, what are your thoughts on all of that that I just told you?
So I don't, I don't know. I'm processing this. I don't know if something, do you think something really did happen with her lips or is that just her like a money grab or why did she do that?
Good question. I mean, there were Heather or someone on Heather's team released screenshots of the original text messages. By the way, this beauty treatment happened, we're ending 2023. It was like early 2022 or even end of 2021. It was ages ago. But we do know that lawsuits take forever. But anyway, there's screenshots of Monica texting the employee saying, oh my God, look at my lips. I love them so much. Everyone keeps asking me where I got my lips done. And that was over a couple of weeks. Now they can change and then stuff can happen with lip fillers and they can get hardened and that can happen over weeks, months. I don't know. Monica did also release today her mugshot. She said, I'm just going to release this before anybody else does. she said she got arrested because it was a driving violation that it cost $100 that she didn't pay. And then they arrested her, which I have heard horror stories like of people getting arrested over parking tickets. I don't know if you've ever heard this. I worked for a woman once that got a knock in at like 4 o'clock in the morning. She went to her door and it was LAPD arresting her for unpaid parking tickets. Do you have police not got enough to do? Unpaid parking tickets.
That is so insane.
Anyway, so the mugshot went up and then now people are saying that it was all face-tuned as well, that she like face-tuned her own Listen, Monica, I don't know. She has been a recent follower of us on Instagram. If you're not following us, guys, Tender Loving Care Podcast on Instagram.
I love it. I love it all.
Let's get into the show because, I mean, we need to discuss. Let's go straight into Salt Lake. Kate, there's been so much since you and I last spoke. Obviously, me and the listeners have been kept up and been discussing it thoroughly. We are at the point of, speaking of Bermuda, we're there. So we have, I forget that this was supposed to be part, you know, Monica's roots because there's a big Portuguese community there. And she spent some time, her grandmother or great grandmother was brought up there. And also it's Monica's birthday. I'd forgotten that this is going to be one birthday that they are going to celebrate. We did see an interview with Heather Gay recently that was asked about what happens in Bermuda. And she goes, no one will even believe it. She says it's worse. It's the worst trip I've ever been on. And I would never film with Monica ever again.
Wow. Okay.
So fire. I'm so excited for Bermuda.
It's now, so funny that that's what this trip, bathtub gate trip turns into.
Seriously. They thought Angie and her. No, they have no clue.
Oh,
so to review who's fighting with who, I wanted to do that at the top.
Yeah.
We're in season 4, episode 13, Bermuda Views and Bathtub Blues. All right. We have Angie's fighting with Meredith because I'm going to ruin your family, that whole bullshit, and her husband being in sexual relationships with men. Okay. Rumor. Then we have Lisa is fighting with Whitney for a couple of reasons. One, when Lisa was last at her house, Whitney gave her that weird lecture about, you know, the sound bath when she ruined the sound bath with Monica. And then also with Whitney's friend dying, how Lisa, Bibby Gorge, reacted. Monica and Lisa have kind of made up. They're kind of okay. Whitney and Heather have not, the match is not lighting with those two. Those two have tried, but we see in this episode, they're not coming back from last season. We see how they began in the first season, second season. They are never getting back together, those two.
No, the alliance was severed on this show. Yeah.
Done. So, Kate, we open with one of our favorites, the packing scenes. Oh, I love a packing scene.
I know. They're all getting ready and you have Brooks on his phone and he's rolling his face with one of those like
monster. He is a monster.
Meredith's like, what's the weather going to be like in Bermuda at nighttime? And he just ignores her and packing sequence.
Oh, so good. Monica's bleaching her mustache. Great.
Gotta do it.
And then we see we've got Angie's assistant. Always gotta have an assistant. She's coming in and helping her. And we've got, now Kate, there's a scene here in the packing that I think is very crucial. And Housewives fans will go, oh, if they remember this is what I put together. Okay. We see them all packing and stuff, and Merida, Brooks, Monica, you know, Heather, Angie, and then we go to Whitney. The first clip is Whitney throwing Bad Mormon into her suitcase. Did that spark any memory of Housewives past?
Is it Bethany?
Mm-mm.
Is it New Jersey? Is it
No.
I don't know.
What it sparked to me, and listeners, let me know if this reminded you of anything. This is going way back now. This is pre-nose jobs on a lot of women, including Kyle. Early Beverly Hills. Brandy, they were all going on holiday, and Lisa Vanderpump apparently had told Brandy, put in your suitcase the Us magazine that has Mauricio's affair on the cover and bring it up to Kyle, which I'm sure Lisa Vanderpump did. That caused the whole fight between all of them that ended Brandy's relationship with Lisa Vanderpump, that caused a massive fight with Ken on the beach, it was huge. So it reminded me of that, because that shot, Whitney's throwing that book in for a reason. She's got the pages tagged where she's going to bring it up at a dinner. Hey, let's talk about page 36 of your book. When you said, I thought there's a reason they just showed that.
Yes. Okay. That was good foreshadowing, I think.
I think so.
Nice edit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we see the girls meeting up for lunches and gossip, right? So this is what happened. Or is there something else?
I said that we go straight to the airport, because we see Whitney talking to Justin about the drama with Lisa, with Baby Gorge. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Who meets up?
Isn't it Heather telling Lisa about Whitney's claim that she's been coaching Lisa?
That's in Bermuda.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I thought that was before. Never mind.
Because we first were at the airport, and another thing I want to point, I cannot help but notice this stuff. So we're at the airport, we see them all, and of course they're like, Whitney's like, I'm not going to speak to Lisa, and I don't want to speak to Lisa. And then you see Meredith Marks pull out of this little plastic bag. She's like, do you want one? And Whitney going, oh, it's so cute. And it was these macarons that she'd got when previous episodes. She now has Meredith Marks emblazoned on everything, that MM on everything, and she got them on these macarons. And when Whitney and Justin came over to do the podcast, she had them laid out there. And I'm thinking they are so stale and gross. And Whitney's like, oh, thank you. And she eats them and it's got a big MM on it for Meredith. I'm like, I can't.
It's like the HD Heather Dubrow.
It is everywhere. It's everywhere. And I want to now go on to my, I'm going to jump onto my soapbox about this pill stuff. Okay. And it's going to be brought up in BH as well. So we see them all at the airport, right? And Angie's discussion of that zit in her face was brilliant. So she ends up putting diamonds. Baby Gorge laughs. And Baby Gorge is like, it's such a statement.
Our friend, Baby Gorge.
So friend of the pod, Baby Gorge. So we should refer to her as friend of the pod. They say, everyone, let's take a sleeping pill and then we'll go to the lounge. What we see next is, you know, the shots of, they take like two flights and we see then shots of Meredith unable to wake up. They've all been drinking and they're all taking these sleeping pills and everyone's laughing about it. I do not mean to give everyone a lecture here, yet I am going to. These pills are dangerous. These housewives are putting in, oh, it's a benzo, it's a Xanax, it's a... These kill people every single day in this country. And I was getting so upset by this whole conversation. Meredith was on that bus and she was really ill. Dare we say, I have a lot of suspicions of what was going on with Meredith on that bus. I think the fact that Whitney very, very openly says, oh, we all took sleeping pills. And then, Meredith, you know, Anne had cocktails and then she, you know, Meredith accidentally doubled the dose. This shit kills people. Like, it's not a joke. And these women are just, listen, and I am by no means a prude, but it's so ironic. It's like if one of them pulled out a cigarette, Meredith Marks smokes, like we've spoken about, like if she pulled out a cigarette, they would be like, oh, that is so horrendous, which it is. It's terrible for you. But these women are popping benzos and cocktails. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I hate it.
They were very flippant about that. You're so right.
And this conversation of it.
Yeah, it was a big joke.
It was. And Meredith couldn't wake up. Like, she was so out of it. And they're at altitude. And that shit messes with you, really messes with you.
It does.
When she is in the sprinter van, and we all know the ladies of Salt Lake do their best work in a sprinter van, Meredith looked like, and I'm not saying this, by the way, I cannot be sued because I'm not saying this was what happened. I'm saying that a lot of people may presume, or she was dealing with, she looked like she was fucking detoxing, Kate. She looked like she was coming down off of very hard drugs. The fuck?
Yeah. The dehydration and the, you know, shivering, feeling nauseated and right. That would track if that were the case. Yeah.
If it were the case. I don't know, Kate. I just was so watching it saying, thinking this is, none of this shit's funny. Like in England, not that I'm saying England's better, but I'm just saying, I remember talking to my friend, you cannot get Xanax in England, like over the, it's a very serious drug. And I remember I have nearly a nervous breakdown every time I go to the dentist. So they give me sleepy pills, which is Xanax. They wouldn't even tell me it was Xanax. Anyway, I'm not going to go on anymore. I just wanted to make a statement about that. It's cuckoo for me.
It's important to point out it's a dangerous combo and you shouldn't do it. Okay. So then what else?
Have you missed my lectures, Kate? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much have you missed me lecturing people and standing on my soapbox?
Hey, you're my Tony Robbins.
Oh, just right. As tall and just a big head. It was lovely though on the sprinter van to see them, Kate. They're out of the bloody country and they are actually in a mansion with hot water, like a hot climate. Because these poor gals have been to bloody spas in the desert and San Diego. That was the extent of everything that they could do.
It was nice to see them on a fabulous, luxurious tropical vacation.
Oh, so good.
You know, just like some of the other gals have gotten to do on the other casts.
Lovely.
So, yeah, that was a blessing that Jen Jen didn't hold them back from their
seriously
their fancy vacation. So yeah, this place is really beautiful. Baby Gorgeous is impressed. Everyone's impressed with what Heather has set up for them.
Yep.
And she is teaching them culture by the rum tasting.
Before that, though,
Meredith is very upset that she gets stuck with the only bedroom without a bathtub.
I've got to say, I have never liked Meredith more than this episode, because she was like unhinged Ramona. It was I thought beautiful.
Lou with the fish room.
It's a little bit Lou, you're right.
Where she was like, I can't get any respect. You put me in the fish room. That's what I wrote down. But it was Ramona too. Ramona's like the room monster.
When they were running for rooms, I was like, beautiful work, ladies. This is what we do on a tropical vacation. First thing is fighting over the rooms. That's how you start a housewife's trip.
Hit the beats. Yeah, they were doing it all.
They were doing it. And you're right. Meredith was just, I've never, ever liked her more than this episode. Completely unhinged. Probably detoxing, falling asleep at an airport and getting her makeup done in bed and telling everyone how awful they are because she didn't get a bathtub. I was like, great work, Meredith.
Great work. I love when housewives get really, really upset about the dumbest, most frivolous stuff. Mm. That is a perfect formula. So I agree. I was loving this episode with Meredith. It's so funny.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. So you're right. They do all of that. And then she's like, I need to go to bed. She kind of goes to bed. They get some food. Then they sit outside. And that's when Heather talks to Baby Gorge.
Yes. And Heather is saying, oh, well, Whitney is telling me that, you know, you guys are getting so close and she's been able to really help you know, you know, with how to behave, basically.
She just got that spoon and she's just stirring that shit up. And it's brilliant. Brilliant.
Oh, great.
And Baby Gorge just falls for every time, though. Baby Gorge, I've noticed that about her. She needs to figure out when people are just stirring to stir trouble, because that's obviously what Heather was doing. Because essentially Heather no longer likes Whitney and Whitney no longer likes Heather. And they're doing this false, they're kind of thinking, look, we have to mend this. But like we said at the top of the three, they're never going to mend this. And Heather is very off put with Whitney and Baby Gorgeous's friendship, as we see in a little bit. So she lays this out and Baby Gorge takes the bait. She's like, what do you mean she's saying that about me?
Give a girl a crystal and she turns into the Dalai Lama.
So good. Baby Gorge.
She's not having Tony Robbins talks with me. Only God and my husband and my kids make me a better person.
So John, Jack and Henry.
Preach Fresh it. Wolf. Fresh wolf.
So they kind of have this outside, and so Heather's done her job. She stirred everything up. Yep. Monica goes to Meredith in bed, who's just, she's so ill. And she's coming off a hangover. I don't know what it was, but anyway, she's in that room. Well, I do know what it was. She was in that room. She's like, I just need to. I love that Monica's constantly eating. It is such a joy to see some of these women eat. And Monica's like, oh, I brought you some food. I brought myself some food so we could both eat. And she's just shoving this food in her mouth. And I love it, because you just don't see these women eat. So
especially on vacation, like just shove it in.
Yeah, exactly. So she sat there talking to Meredith and she's like, oh, I just need to relax. Then we see pop up, which I loved this. The text messages, it just says, producer, how are you doing? It was so good.
She's like, I'm really not doing very well at all, or whatever. So dramatic.
I think I'm going to change my entire life path. I don't care if I get paid like $200 a day or whatever to be a PA on a Bravo show. Can you imagine the joy, Kate? Can you imagine the joy we would have? Everything we'd see behind the scenes, everything.
It'd be hard to restrain yourself to not kind of help produce, you know, say a little something to the girls.
I'd be stirring up all the time. And they'd be like, hey, can you refill Crafty? I was like, yeah, give me a minute. I'd be running over to Baby Gorge and being like, guess what Whitney just said about you? Oh!
You'll never believe this.
Guess what I heard? Oh, I would love it so much. Oh,
it'd be so fun. So we get this mobile medic comes to Meredith's room. They play dramatic music that was honestly more suited to underscore the car accident story.
Sure.
Finally, she gets her dramatic music. And it's this guy coming in just to say, yeah, you're just a little dehydrated.
He couldn't have been more bothered. He was just like, or less bothered. He's just like, yeah, just a little bit dehydrated. Heather comes, oh my God, are you okay? She's just a little bit dehydrated. That's all right. So there's nothing going on with that, honestly.
Got an IV. Yeah, we give this to all the hungover people. Mm-hmm. So she's like, you got to rally. She's telling Meredith, you got to rally. Come on, rally it up. And then, like you say, she gets... This was probably my favorite visual, was Meredith laying there just kind of catatonic and this guy just softly brushing her entire face foundation.
You know, to me, it's like, listen, do I want glam more than anything? Absolutely. But also, it's so rude if someone's working for you to just, you can't even sit up straight. Shut up, Meredith.
Diva. Also,
thank you for that. Yeah.
Diva behavior to the max. So Whitney and Angie are running into the ocean, which is exactly what they should all be doing. That's what I would be doing. Drink in hand.
Dream
so fun. And then Heather tells us, I want this trip not to just be fun but educational, and I'm gonna teach everyone about the culture. And so the first thing we're doing is drinking activity because they're known for their rum. And so they all go down to the beach where there's this little mini bar set up, and they get these fabulous rum drinks made for them. He mentions that Dark and Stormy is sort of the national drink. Those are good.
Stormy's are nice. Now, did you, first of all, my first note on this, and I apologize, everyone, Whitney's tattoos. Oh, God. They are so hard to look at. They are so hard to look at, Kate. They're awful. Just every single last one of them are awful.
What is that big side one? It just looks sort of vaguely tribal. I don't know what it is, but it's, it overpowers her kind of. I really liked her dress, but I don't know. It's a big one.
It's hard. This rum tasting.
Yeah.
Did you notice a placement in it? Maybe I've missed something, or maybe it's like I say, a lot of foreshadowing is done here. This guy, Andrew, wrote down his name, the bartender. Rum tasting, you're right. They talk about Dark and Stormy. And it's like, let me give you this one. And then it's a full-on, like, scripted, this is in honor of Flora Duffy. Flora Duffy was an Olympian. And I'm like, okay, they did it once. Then when we see Meredith, or no, when we see Meredith isn't coming down, Whitney come down, right? He then they flash up a photo of this Flora Duffy and then give the entire spiel again. And it just felt so, it was like a product placement. Do you know what I mean? It felt really weird.
It was more info than you would think they would show us. But I think that's what it was supposed to be. Like, Heather was pitching it as like, you're learning about their culture. So I think he has a little spiel he does. I didn't really look into it too much.
I wondered if they were going to do some Olympian thing with her in the next couple of episodes, because it was like photo of Flora Duffy. I don't know. It was really odd. And then Monica was married, children, sleeping with her brother-in-law, yet never had a drink until after all of that.
Those were sober decisions. Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. So then what else?
They finish all of that, and Baby Gorge gives one dig to Whitney while they're on the beach and doing the rum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, Oh, well, you know best because you know everything, or what was it, something like that.
It's betterment. It's bettering yourself. Yeah.
Right. You're all about that. Yeah. That was hilarious. And so they go to the sprinter van, back to the sprinter van, to go to this dinner, and Meredith rolls up, blesses them with her presence. That's in the back, and they're like, "Oh, you rallied. Yay. How you feeling?" She's like, "I'm all right, but I just have one," just goes right into it.
I just have
one thing to ask everyone in this car.
Yeah.
Who here has a bathtub in their room?
Yeah. Every single person puts their hand up. Yeah, I've got one. And she just goes on. It is an unhinged Ramona and Sonia, and I loved it.
So good. And then Heather's telling us there isn't even room in this itinerary for leisurely bubble baths. And then the producers cut an amazing cut to Whitney Wild Rose and like blowing a bubble off her hand in the tub an hour before that. Oh, so good.
So they kind of then they start so that starts one fight that then leads into another fight between Meredith and Angie again about this ruining your family. I could ruin everyone's family. I could ruin anyone here. And Monica is right when she says, "We are so sick of listening to this. We are so sick of it.
Enough about the rumors and the husband
and the nastiness.
Enough.
Just say it. We want to know the nastiness, and we do find out the nastiness towards the end of this episode. We are spending hours in Salt Lake, but this is this is how good this episode is, though. Every scene, every scene has something to discuss in depth on Salt Lake City.
You're so right. There's so many gems. I find myself like dragging the thing back to rewatch scenes. Sure. It's so funny. They get to this gorgeous seaside restaurant. Yes. They pause their fighting long enough to order a bunch of food, and then they get right back into it. Meredith basically ties up her episode arc here, and she said, "Well, I was just really hurt about the lack of respect, and I just was sharing my feelings with you all just to get it out there." And they're all like, "Okay, Meredith." And they move on. And then Whitney brings up her and Lisa's stuff.
I want to ask you a question here. This is an important question.
Yeah.
You obviously watched this episode before, right? Salt Lake.
Not all of it. I've been catching up, but.
Okay. So obvious. Well, so, you know, Whitney lost her best friend in that episode. Now, the whole fight, and it has been bubbling between Whitney and Baby Gorge, but you know I will never say a word against Baby Gorge, ever. John, Jack, and Henry, fresh wolf. Like, I won't, but I will say, and I don't really like Whitney, I'm on Whitney's side for this. Whitney had lost her best friend, and she goes to Meredith's party. Meredith was very sympathetic speaking to her, and Baby Gorge did walk past her, didn't say anything. And it's this whole thing that I have about, I understand, I say that grief is the most uncomfortable thing in the world. Like, I always talk about it. I talk about how people don't know what to say. Like, when I've lost people in my life, people, best friends would stop speaking to me because they're like, "I don't know what to say." Enough. You figure it out, or you say, "I don't know what to say, but I'm here." That's it. Baby Gorge did not behave correctly to Whitney, and I understand why Whitney was upset. She goes, "I just needed you to say something." So they start bringing this up at the dinner, and Baby Gorge just said, "Look, if you wanted me to do something, you got to tell me." That's not, when someone's in crisis, that's not what you say. And Baby Gorge is a very, 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 very young, 50 something, so she should know at this point in her life how to deal with somebody that's lost someone. So I didn't like that with Baby Gorge.
That's a misstep for sure. Okay, thank you for filling in those gaps. I hadn't seen quite everything, so I was kind of putting it together as I watched, but that makes this whole thing make more sense to me, because I was kind of like, well, what did she do that like wasn't good enough, you know? I wasn't sure, but that sounds pretty
it was bad.
So she hurt Whitney's feelings.
Her feelings.
And they're kind of hashing that out. And then Lisa brings up, she takes out her ammo that Heather handed to her earlier.
I love that.
And brings up the thing that Heather told her about Whitney acting like her role model and savior in life or whatever. Whitney hones in on Heather because she's not going to really go against Baby Gorgeous, right?
Mm-mm, no, and don't so go against Baby Gorgeous.
She just focuses on Heather telling Lisa shit that's making her look bad to her cult leader.
sign my ass up for that cult.
I know. And then Heather calls out how up Lisa's ass Whitney is, and yep. It devolves from there.
It was, the dynamics are so interesting. As you know, we are housewife scientists. When you look at it, so we've got the two cousins, Heather and Whitney. They thick as thieves, and it completely devolved in this last season due to, if you want to get back into it, it was very briefly, it was because it was a whole thing about Heather decided to not own up to the fact that she had heard the rumor about Baby Gorgeous S-ing D's for Vida placement or whatever, right? So, and she didn't stand up for, and they were all in their lingerie at some house in the mountains screaming at each other, and Heather completely let Whitney down and said that never happened, and like, and that was the end of their relationship.
She left her out to dry while they were filming, and I think they went into this being cousins, and when I say went into this, like starting this show, being on this show, I think they were like, okay, we have each other's backs. Like, we're going to kind of do this together, you know, and they had an alliance, not just a friendship and, you know, being family. And so then that got broken. And I think it's that. And I think Heather kind of viewed Whitney as like a sidekick sort of figure to her. And then when Whitney came on to the show and as the seasons progress, I think Whitney kind of got more confidence and kind of fancies herself as being sort of the queen bee of the group or the ingenue of the show, whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's the clash too. It's like, who's the star of the show?
It's a lot of dynamics. Yeah, you're right. And they've tried to get back on track. They're not. So they're sat there arguing, because Heather is trying to throw Whitney under the bus, get her in trouble with Lisa. She is trying to do that. She is trying to ruin their relationship because Heather is also really annoyed. Like, when did you two become best mates? Which I think a lot of people watching are also kind of like, yeah, actually. And Whitney, I think, also knows how much it irritates Heather that she's good friends with Lisa. So she's even ramping that up even more, not for the sake of friendship with Baby Gorge, but to annoy Heather. I think they have all these ulterior motives of just how much they want to get back at each other. And Baby Gorge is being used for it.
Because she's effortlessly the queen bee.
Absolutely. She's just everything. So it's getting really heightened. And then Whitney just goes, shut the fuck up to Heather. And it was, that is a harsh thing to, especially when it's not like, oh, shut the fuck up. It was with anger. It was with venom. And it just showed how much they are no longer confidants or on each other's team at all.
No, the air shifted in the room after that. And Whitney was saying some really intense stuff about their, like mysterious stuff about her and Lisa too.
What was she saying? She was saying, you don't know, said, nobody she knows goes, our friendship.
She's like, you guys have no idea what Lisa and I's friendship is about. And if you knew, you'd all be triggered and try to ruin it. And I was like, what is it about? You'd all be triggered and try to ruin it if you knew what our friendship was based on and about. And I'm like, what?
I'm going to give Whitney a little bit of grace, which I never do. Is she just lost her best friend. She sat on this vacation. I think she's really angry at Heather. I think she's trying to keep herself together and keep her points of her life together.
Right.
Her relationship with Heather's terrible. She's known that for a while. That's annoying her and angering her. She's trying to keep it together with Baby Gorge.
And everyone talks down to her too.
Yeah, kind of. They always do. They always do. So I just kind of think she's just off on her own at the moment, and she's just trying to keep it together. So this dinner, obviously, I just wrote here, these dinners these women have never cease to amaze me. They just are everything. Every franchise, these dinners are amazing. And the one thing I will say, Kate, you have a sister. I have friends that are basically like my sisters, and they are, they're sisters to me, and it's a group of four sisters, even though they're not biological sisters, we behave like it. And I will call them dickheads, and we'll get in fights and stuff. But never, and I have a lot of female friends, never in my life have I had a dinner where I have sat and screamed in public at dinner with friends like this in my life. Have you?
I don't think so. I don't recall that happening. Growing up with my as like a teenager with my sister, maybe.
These are women in their 50s and 40s. Think of let's go back to, remember how Dorinda used to scream in public and nearly punch Sonia Walker around the face well into their 50s. And I'm thinking, I have never in my life screamed at dinner tables like these people.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It takes a lot of gall. It's
amazing. That's why they're TV stars. That's why they're stars.
That's why they're on Bravo and I'm not. Yeah.
So they leave all this dinner, and once again, they're like, oh, that was a terrible dinner. And they go back to the house, and I love Monica's still eating. She's like, oh, can I have that mac and cheese? Oh, there's fish and chips here. But I must admit, they probably never get a chance to eat at these dinners because they're too busy screaming at each other.
Right. And they've been drinking so much and taking pills. She's smart. She's like, we need to eat this crap and like, or we're not going to, you got to sustain it. It's a marathon, not a race. Vacations, you got to keep your levels, you know, you got to eat. So she's smart.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they get back and let's see here. They're drunk, they're eating the fish and chips and stuff. And then everyone goes to bed except for Meredith and her new show ally. Sorry, I mean, friend, Monica. Meredith's telling us that she'd already be on a plane home if it weren't for Monica, because she's the only one supporting her. Uh-huh. And we see kind of footage of that. And I think, tell me if you agree, I think that Monica is like, I need an established ally on the show.
Absolutely.
I think, right? Absolutely. So she's kind of like cozying up to Meredith.
Yeah.
And she can get along with anyone, I think, if she wants to.
Yeah, she can. She knows what she's doing. Let's put it that way. She knows what she's doing.
Yes. And then this very strange scene plays out. This is very, very strange. So they're chatting and stuff. And then Monica decides she's going to bring something to light on national television. And she starts telling us that her and Meredith had this big night out.
Well, they went for a lunch and we saw footage of it.
Okay, a lunch. But then they started drinking, right?
She said we met for a lunch, which we saw footage, which never made it onto the show. Okay. Then she said we started walking down the main street in Salt Lake.
Mm.
That's when Meredith told me this whole area used to be run by the Greek mafia.
Uh-huh. And then I'm like, how did this come up or out? So then Monica's telling us about how Meredith told her that Angie might be and her family. Well,
how it worked is, by the way, a round of applause for the editors as well, because as Monica is giving us this step-by-step detail of this lunch that we didn't see on the show, And this conversation they had while walking around Park Lake, Salt Lake, after having this lunch, they said, you know, she said, and Meredith said to me, this was run by Greek Mafia. And I said, oh, you mean like Angie could have been a part of that. One of them said, and like, I wonder if Angie's a part of that. Then the editors flash back to Greek Easter when there was piles of cash everywhere. Baby Gorgeous going, I love being at Angie's house with all cash everywhere.
Right, right.
I think, let me get this right. Was it, was Monica saying, and Meredith said, that people thought Angie was in the Greek Mafia? Did she say that? She must have, right?
I think that that was planted by Meredith. The idea, whether it was jokingly said,
exactly,
or
absolutely. She planted it, Meredith, either way, to Monica, correct. Then we get Monica saying she received a phone call from Meredith that night. So after they've had lunch, it was either that night or the next morning, saying, hey, so strange, these DMs I got.
Huh. Did you get these same DMs? I got these DMs from this random Instagram account that's, you know, like a hate page for Monica, or I don't know, maybe not a hate page, but like people have these Instagram accounts about housewives or whatever. And they DM'd me about Angie, about what? The financials.
Oh, love the financials. So we see a quick screenshot. I'm sure somebody's got it and is going to put it on Instagram. A screenshot of a message. And Monica is telling us, she says, so I look and I got the same DMs. And the DM says, all this stuff about Angie, and we just saw a flash of it, like bankruptcy, liens on properties and all of that, which we know by now the majority of housewives have had. Plus, if you have multiple businesses, I don't know why I'm standing up for Angie, but if you have multiple businesses, there's a lot of chance you've probably been bankrupt in a business, and you do that for tax reasons and you get liens on properties, because Angie and her husband, Sean, supposedly, we're led to believe, very successful, have multiple franchises of their salons. So when you have a ton of businesses like that, that stuff is quite commonplace, I believe. Anyway, so then Monica says, I check and I get the same DMs. Cut back to Bermuda, and Monica's bringing it up, and Meredith shuts down. And my theory is, obviously, all of us are thinking it, Meredith, of course, sent all these messages. And I think she's had a change of heart. I think she was so angry with Angie at that point when this lunch happened, she did all this. I think she's in Bermuda now, looking around at who's her allies, realizing she doesn't have a lot, and think, I need to squash all of this stuff I have with Angie. So shit, actually, backtrack. I don't want this to come out. And Monica is bringing it up, and Meredith is going, Shit.
Okay. My take on it was that she just fell right into Meredith's trap, and Meredith was like, I'm going to tell her all this. I'm going to do all the DM stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's her first season on the show, so she's going to want to be bringing the drama, and this is fodder for her. So I'm going to just sit back and let her do the dirty work and bring this up. And then we'll have a storyline. Then I will have a storyline. We'll have a storyline, but I'm going to pretend like I'm not really involved with bringing this up on the show.
I think if she was going to do that though, she had to have been more sneaky, because it was too direct. It was like Monica saying, well, Meredith called me and said, did you get this? So, you know, if she was trying to do it a little bit more devious and really keep her name out of it, I think she was, it could be that, it could be, because Monica, you know, Monica says at the end, she's being awfully hesitant about this coming out now. And that's what led me to believe, I think she wanted to go after Angie, and after a couple of benzos and glasses of wine one night, she sent all these messages and then went, and called Monica when she was probably half cut, and called Monica, and then was like, now she's like, shit, I shouldn't have done any of that, because it's all going to come back to me.
Yeah, she forgot it. She did yeah. it or something.
That's it's like Shannon Bedore's phone calls at night.
Okay.
That's what I think. That yeah. and because Monica says, I then I started it. To get more and more and more, and they were the actual documents. They were actual bankruptcy stuff.
Yeah. And then she's asking Meredith, did you see it? Did you get those? And she's like, well, I'm just so behind in my DMs.
That was such a poor excuse. I think, you see, she had no clue Monica was going to bring it up that second. I think she's been dreading Monica bringing it up. And she brought it up and she sat there. And it was such a poor excuse. Like, she just goes, oh, I'm really behind in my DMs. I think she was completely caught off guard, said that, which made him even more guilty. That's what I think. That's what I think.
Oh, wow. The shit's going to hit the fan.
Oh, so if that's, by the way, this is, we're led to believe, isn't even the big thing that's going to come out of Bermuda. Because we still have, apparently, them all finding out about Monica suing Heather under another name. And Heather and Monica have been tight like this, planning this entire thing together. Heather apparently is going to find out. The entire thing is going to implode.
This season is giving us a lot, I think.
It is so good. The fact that Heather said in a very recent interview in Current Time, I will never film with Monica again. And that it was the worst, worst holiday, worst occasion.
Oh, they have to.
Oh, they better show every set. I want these episodes to be 2 to 2.5 hours long. That's what we need from Salt Lake. I'm telling you, Kate.
A 5-minute scene just of Whitney Wildrose playing with bubbles.
Oh, I just want it all. There's so much discussed. And having said that, Kate, we have discussed this for about an hour and a half at this point. So we need to move on to our, we need to move on to BH. I just want to say we did see next week, it's Monica's actual birthday. And the Greek mafia stuff gets brought up. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Ooh.
Beautiful work. All right, ladies and gents, everyone listening, let's head over to BH because this is interesting. We are on season 13 and we are on episode 7. We're still very early in BH, Dazed and Accused. And we are right back at Denise Richards being hooked up at this dinner party at Kyle's.
Oh my gosh, Denise.
She's off. Now, I had said last week, Kate, on the episode, she was wasted in that car arriving at Kyle's. If you go back and watch it, you know, her and Camille come from Malibu. So they were both traveling. So Malibu to where Kyle lives in Encino, that's an hour and like a half drive and plus traffic. You could be sat there for ages. They brought a couple of bottles on because Denise was wasted getting out of that car. I think she'd been drinking for like an hour and a half that entire trip.
She likes the tequila, right? The Reposado or whatever.
Her tequila.
Yep.
Can we just also add just one line that I have here until we'll get into this dinner party is Cynthia Bailey being there was so bizarre, and there was no apparent explanation of why Cynthia Bailey was there.
She was just in town. Don't hate me, listeners, but last I knew she was with that guy who lived in LA. So I think she's in LA a lot. Is that
they've been divorced for about a year.
Oh, there it is. I was like, as I was saying it, I'm like, this feels outdated.
I know. She divorced it. She was only married for like a year to him and got divorced. Oh, God. Mike Hill. Yeah. But then again, he was a man that wrote an entire book about how he cheated on every woman he's ever been with and she married him. So
it was right there.
he wasn't lying to you. He was telling you exactly who he is. Anyway, just Cynthia being there was kind of like, what?
I was kind of like, oh, hi, Cynthia. Okay.
So go into Kate, Denise, and attempting to speak to Erica. Oh.
Okay. So she has this raspy, drunk voice. She's like, sorry, I'm sick.
Yeah. I have a cold.
And she's basically just repeating, what did I do to you? You were so nice to me 1 year and the next year. You just flip the switch and you're so mean. You're so mean. You know what you did. You know what I'm talking about. You know. Watch the show. They're like, what is it? Watch the show and then we'll talk.
watch the show was this week's name them. Name them. Name them.
Because
she just
kept saying, watch the show. She couldn't remember. She like couldn't keep her thoughts together. So relatable to me.
Right.
And so, Erica's just kind of calmly sitting there for once.
Yeah.
Just being like, I'm sorry. I really don't know exactly what you're talking about. And so that's going on. But then we have... Sutton is still like hounding Kyle, and
Kyle,
you're not drinking and this and that. And Kyle kind of has this little outburst. She's like, I can't afford to feel depressed right now. I drink 2 glasses of wine and I feel so sad the next day. And I was like, yeah, that's true. That happens. And that makes sense. And I don't know. I just think like she needs to lay off.
Kyle.
Sutton needs to lay off. It's like
Sutton's attitude this season is really odd. I mean, she's vicious this season. She's always been like that. Remember when she made Teddy Mellencamp cry because she said, I thought you'd be really boring. I do appreciate that. But but this season, I think she's getting way too cocky. You got to be careful when you get to this point as a housewife. She's like, I'm going to go against everyone and I'm going to say exactly what I want. And it may work for a little bit because Kyle is being so annoying. She's so annoying with all of this, but also Sutton, be careful, because in History of Housewives this is going to backfire on you, because she said some really nasty things in her confessionals that's all getting brought up at the reunion, so she needs to be very careful.
Yeah, I agree. She's playing to the audience, I think.
Yeah,
you know, rather than acting authentically as a friend, she's like, ooh, the viewers want to know what's going on with Kyle and Mauricio. So I'm going to be the person to just like go at it.
I think what I realized in this scene is not in this scene, is this whole dinner party. Kyle is in a very bad situation, very bad emotional situation. I would like to just a little bit lighter note of, we spoke about the prescription drugs on Salt Lake. This one, these women's reaction to weed is the most bizarre thing. Once again, it's like this shit. They cut, the majority of everyone sat at that table has their body cut open, okay, with things implanted inside of them. They've had noses broken and readjusted and melded together. They get stuff injected into their faces, okay? They take weight loss drugs that have no long-term studies that could do severe damage to them, okay? They do all of this, but oh my God, are we going to smoke weed? This is so crazy.
It was giving the level of like, were people doing coke in your bathroom? Yeah. It's like that, but it's weed. And it's like,
it was the most, it was ridiculous. These Erica going, oh, I don't want to be start seeing shit. And the guy, it was great. He was like, you're not doing ayahuasca. It's weed.
The caterers were so funny.
Chef, please. Chef and house assistants were. Oh,
so sorry. Yes.
They were unbelievable. Because I thought it was so ridiculous. And by the way, let's Google. I said this last week. These women behaving like this piss me off so much, because go and Google Denise Richards on the beach with Richie Sambora. Go and see what she's doing there. And let's talk about Faye's background, the morally corrupt Faye Resnick's background, when she was living in Westwood and partying with Kris Jenner. Go and see what she was up to during those times. So these women sat there going, weed? Oh my God.
That's BH though, baby. It's all about appearances. It's all about how you're coming off. And oh, I couldn't possibly partake. Yeah.
Silly.
So yeah, the chef. So then you have all of that. You have Denise trying to pick this fight with Erica, but she's so incoherent. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And then you have the chef going back to the kitchen and saying, dude, Denise Richards is fucked up.
So good. It was so good. These are the moments we live for on Housewives. It's so good.
Oh, hilarious.
And then she's standing up and, you know, Erica's not giving her anything. And she's like, you're an asshole. So she stands up to go and have a chat with Kyle. and she's got that shrug on completely backwards. It was great. She could barely stand up. She's like, oh, that? See all those? All that whore in there. Remind me of Katie.
Katie.
Yeah, that whore in there.
Whore. Don't do this. Don't do this to me. I know what she was saying. She was saying, don't accentuate how fucked up I am to the cameras by telling me my jacket's on wrong.
I know. That was great. I really appreciate it. So we have this whole thing of like dinner party. They've left the dinner. And then they're all like, oh, are you high? I think I'm high. That was, honestly, it was so bizarre and silly, all of them doing that. And then, oh my God, she's smoking a joint at the table. Anyway, so they're all going on. So you've got Denise getting told her shrugs are upside down by Dorit. Then you've got Kyle that's kind of wandering all over the place, trying to get Denise has decided to leave. She's like, it's nearly 11. I was like, yeah, you've been drunk since about 4 p.m. So I understand why you need to get your ass home. So they start to kind of go out, and then you have a fight between, so Denise is just stumbling into the car saying she's a bitch, she's this, she goes. Then you've got Sutton's on again. She's on at Kyle again.
Yes. And there's the other ladies are standing there. I think like Crystal and Garcelle maybe are standing there, and Dorit, and yeah, this fight just picks up again, and Sutton ends up saying something so cutting.
Ugh.
It's like, you've already lost your relationship with your sisters. You want to lose another one, talking about herself. And I mean, that is the most hurtful thing she could probably say to Kyle.
I don't know what game she's playing. I really don't. A lot of these stuff that we've learned from Dave Quinn, who is an expert on Housewives, who wrote It's Not All Diamonds and Rosé, he said a lot of these fights are what's going on behind the scenes. And yeah. I think Sutton knows a lot she's very high in society, remember? She knows stuff that's got going on with Kyle. And
from Kathy.
Of course, from Kathy. So there are stuff that she's like, shit, I really can't say this on camera, but I'm really angry at her. So I think that's what's going on.
That makes sense to think about it that way. This nasty fight occurs, and we have a pickleball scene, which I know you love. Lots of pickleball on the Housewives lately.
It's the equivalent of, what do all the Housewives do? They all go to wineries. They all play pickleball. They all do that. Remember, there was a time where they all did the axe throwing. Like, it's all these tropes.
The smash
rooms. Yeah. But just before to end that, I mean, it was, that whole dinner party was horrible. She says, you know, you've already lost two of your sisters. Now you're going to lose another one. By the way, I don't think Sutton and Cole were ever like sisters. I thought that was a bit weird. But anyway, then Kyle says, you just don't want to say what's really going on with Kathy. And she goes, no, I'll tell you the story. So she does tell the story about Kathy telling her off, which I believe that's all true. And, you know, Erica, she loves it. She's like, you know, I'm just a lone wolf. I don't care about society. But, you know, everybody else does. And that's why they're terrified. Oh, they are. Well, Crystal's terrified of Kathy.
Erica is the not like other girls. Like, yes. Not like other girls.
I'm a hunter. It's like, shut up. You're like every other girl.
I'm a tiger in the shadows.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so bad. So it ends up, and Kyle, I did have empathy for her. I think there's so much shit she's not talking about. And the people that work in a house were getting ready to go. And she obviously has a great relationship with them. And she was hugging them because I think she feels very alone. I can't imagine having a house full of children, which she thrived and loved, and they're all gone apart from one. Her husband is never there. And remember, there's someone that made a really good point. She lost her friend to suicide this year that we're watching this. It is a massive point.
Yeah.
And that shakes your entire life. Yep. And I think Mauricio is building this monstrosity of an empire of this selling houses. So he's never there. Her kids are gone. I think she's been extremely, extremely alone. And I think she's dealing with a lot. And you see her hugging these women and at work for her. And like I say, she seems like she has a great relationship with these women. And it was just sad. I felt very sad looking at her. And she doesn't have Kathy. That all blew up as well. I just said there was a lot of darkness. I said, out of all the bizarre dinner parties we've seen, this was a really odd one. It wasn't just due to the dramas. There was a lot that was undercurrents going on that was not being said.
Lots of, unspoken vitriol. Yeah.
There was. And also just want to add, I'm really disappointed Camille didn't stir shit up. We kept getting flashes of Camille and she didn't stir shit up, but love her. Then we go to Dorit and Piquet. And Piquet is, we see that Dorit is with Phoenix. I love Phoenix with her hand. She's great. She reminded me because she has that little bit of an English accent, Phoenix, because she's still young enough that she's picking up off her dad and they're not in school, apparently. So she's just that little bit. She was wearing her Alice in Wonderland kind of headband that I used to wear. And she looked like this little English girl. And she was playing with some weird macabre thing. And I was like, oh, it's so much like me. I loved it.
Oh,
I loved it.
So cute.
So we see them, Phoenix, and then we go over to Erica with her assistant. And you know what still shocks me? She lives in that pool house. Isn't that so crazy to think of? She actually, that's the pool house she lives in. There isn't a main house. That's where she lives.
That is surprising, but I mean, it's frugal of her.
Absolutely. She still has an assistant in these glam teams, which are tens of thousands of dollars. What do you think they're getting on this show? What do you think they are getting on this show?
Getting paid?
Is it it's like 100 grand a season? Like, is it
like Mikey or the women?
No, the women on this.
Oh, Erica... I was like, Mikey's probably just getting a day rate. Okay,
we'll get onto that ghoul in a minute. She did talk very openly in the previous episode. She goes, I am scared to open my bills. She's like, the legal costs, Kate, must have been in the millions for her, really in the millions, because that stuff, lawyers and Beverly Hills lawyers, I mean, that is eye-watering stuff. She says she doesn't even know if she'd own a house again. You know, she's renting. You have car payments, then you have the clothing payments of stuff. A stylist, she's employing an assistant, she's employing glam squad, and that's pretty where all the money's going. And that is hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. So even if she's earning $1 million a month, which I don't think she is, that so much of that would already be gone. So, you know, she had, she didn't get any money from Tom. She's got, since he's gone into assisted living, she's getting nothing from him. They're not even divorced.
That's what I'm like, maybe there's some sort of like allowance or something, but okay.
His money's all gone to lawyers. So there's fumes left. There's nothing. So it is interesting. Erica really is at a point where I think that's why this whole change of attitude this season is because she needs this. She needs to come back and she's not going to do it having the audience hate her as much as they did last season.
Okay. Yeah. The sun.
There we go. Thank you. The trades
are saying Erica Jane's salary is believed to be $600K.
Salary, okay, for the whole season.
Yeah.
I mean, her rent alone is probably.
Well, then. Yeah, I mean, 100K in LA in Beverly Hills is like
nothing.
Nothing. So.
Anyway, so we see her and that assistant talking about lemonade, which was an odd scene, and then. Then the pickleball, that's what it is. Kyle's running over to Anne-Marie. Now, do you know the story with Anne-Marie? What's going on with her in real life?
No.
Apparently, all the women were really shocked when the season aired that she wasn't in holding a diamond in the season opening because she's supposed to be a full-time cast member. They filmed a ton with Anne-Marie that hasn't been shown and will not be shown because apparently her NFL husband is in some very treacherous water being accused of some very serious crimes. So apparently Bravo axed all of the stuff with Anne-Marie.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, apparently. That's what's been said in the trades, Instagram. Yeah, so we see them have this kind of thing and we learn about her and being competitive and sporty and blah, 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 and very determined woman. And she was supposed to be brought on in a massive way this season, but did not happen.
If she's not involved with the thing with her husband, that I would be so upset if I was her and my spouse like ruined my chance to be a Bravo star.
Seriously. They don't, I know they just don't, they don't let any of that stuff go. Yeah. All right, next, Kate, take us into this. We had a meal then. It was a weird scene. They did the pickle thing. Then we went on to a scene.
Yeah.
Dinner where Denise comes back.
This was great. One of the ladies is like, Denise comes in and she's just like a breath of fresh air, you know, fresh as a daisy. Mm. And just such a contrast from the other night. And it's Sutton, Garcelle, and Crystal, I believe, are the ones there. And the other night gets brought up and they're like, what were you talking about? Mm-hmm. And it turns out she was talking about that scene where Erica was blabbing about having threesomes in front of her children. And yes, that was inappropriate, but it was also 2 years ago at this point. And she's like doing OnlyFans with that daughter now. I'm like, what's going on here?
I wrote in my notes, why is she so angry at Erica? Kyle was terrible. I think, is it just because she's not mentioning the real reason, which is, of course, the demise of Denise was Brandy coming on and saying that she cheated on Aaron with her. And that's why she's angry at all these cast members. And she's just not mentioning that, because I just kept writing, why is she so angry with Erica? They were all awful to Denise, especially Lisa Rinna, but she's not there. But maybe, you know, Erica's best friend to Lisa Rinna. I don't know.
Yeah, she latched onto that party thing with the threesome thing. She latched onto that. What? I think she just doesn't like Erica, too. I think she just doesn't like her.
Yeah.
And so she's just like pointing to that as something Erica's done. Mm-hmm. But she's just like, she's a bitch.
Yeah. Can we also have some justice for Crystal? Crystal has had zero time. We've learned more about her brother and the brother's failed engagement than her. We've seen her with Lion King a couple of times, and that's it. Why is Crystal not getting featured?
What's happening in Crystal's world? Yeah, I want to know. I think there must be something there that's interesting that they're just not giving us scenes with her. I don't know. Yeah, I agree. She pipes in, and I enjoyed her in this episode when she was laughing so hard at Denise at the party. That was hilarious.
I know.
Yeah, I agree. Justice for Crystal. Mm-hmm. Is this when we go back to Dorit and PK, or
we go back to PK because he's getting a cup of tea made.
Yes. And I have to say, she looks stunning. This hair, this darker hair, I love it with the black rim glasses. She looks great.
Do you know what is so weird? My notes on the scene. Dorit and PK, cup of tea, ... I don't get the hair color at all. Mm. I'll tell you why. I think that she's deeply, this is another woman. There are women in such crisis in this show. Dorit is in extreme pain.
Yep.
And extreme PTSD for what that woman went through cannot be minimized. It is horrific, okay? And this hair color does nothing but make her look, I think, dowdy and sad and depressed. And I think it's just indicative of how she's feeling on the inside. I'm not saying she should go back to Platinum Blonde, but all of her looks, everything's subdued. Trust me, I don't like everything over the top. I'm much more minimal and natural. But she looks sad with this hair. She looks just sad. And I don't get it.
Okay, yeah.
I don't get it.
It was something with the glasses, I think. It was like a little bookish look that I was enjoying.
She always looks gorgeous.
But I see what you're saying. It is a indicator of her mental state a bit.
I don't know.
Not feeling as like bright and sunshiny. Mm. They talk a little bit about Kyle and Mo, and PK's defending Mo, his bro. You know, he's like, he's busy with business. Like that's basically what PK says. And then they start talking about the school or the children and their schooling. And Dorit, who's with the kids all the time, is saying, well, when they're not with their nannies, is saying that they love homeschool and she wants them to keep doing it. And PK's like, no, they need to be around other children. It's really big for their development and everything like that. I mean, I don't have kids, so I don't know, but I get why she was upset, because she's like, well, I know their needs and, you know, what's going on with them on a very intimate level. And he's, you know, jet setting, and then he comes back in and kind of bosses me with how to raise the kids and then jets off again. And that's frustrating.
I know. I just wrote, Dorit is not well. She's really not well, and she's recovering, and they're filming this. Kyle's a mess emotionally as well. It's like you're watching very sad people. Like they're very sad. To lighten the mood, we go to Rocco's in WeHo, and I just wrote in all block capitals, oh God, Mikey. He has emerged from someone's wardrobe again, where he's charging some poor woman hundreds of thousands of dollars to dress them or style them. And he turns up at Rocco's in WeHo, and I just wrote the ghoul. And the reason is because there was first of all, I love that word, and all, and I can't get to use it enough. And then there was this, there was a last time he was on, we saw a flash of him during the Vegas scenes. And someone in Instagram had put on this fantastic meme of just like, God, why did we have to see this ghoul turn up on our TV?
The word ghoul is so funny.
It's so funny and so accurate for him. He's like, yeah, yeah. He's in there again. Being like, yeah, we'll just get a residency. It's like, oh. You are just awful. You are awful.
Yeah, I was called the mayor of Las Vegas and get you into the fucking...
Listen,
Bellagio.
In all fairness, I have two people that one I've spoken to recently that I don't know that knows that is a choreographer himself, and he's worked with Mikey, knows Mikey very well, and says he's really, really nice.
Yeah.
Other Colty has met him a couple of times and says he is what you think he is. I've never met him, so I'm gonna cast my judgment immediately. of I think he is a nightmare. He's a living, walking nightmare. That's who Mikey is.
Yeah. I mean,
remember those scenes? He would just be blown to Japan to hang out in Erica's hotel room. What are you doing? Oh, he's a stylist and advisor. What are you doing?
Hey, I mean, he's making more money than me. He's a hustler.
He's making more money than everyone that lives in your apartment building and everyone that lives at all my neighbors. He's making a shit ton. And he has had a very, very successful career as a choreographer and a dancer. All of that is true. He is a dancer. He is very, very skilled in what he does. But if I have to see those eyebrows and lips one more time talking to Erica Jane, I'm going to lose my shit.
I honestly forgot he was a dancer and a choreographer. In my mind, he was just like holding up sequin shirts. I remember now. And
Mikey,
that was it. Oh, we did see Kim. We didn't say that. We saw Kim.
That's the next scene. So they were at Rocco's just discussing Erica's big comeback and how she's going to get a residency at Vegas, which we know now that she did. Also apparently having an affair. Okay, so then we go to Tree People, which I love. I go there often on Coldwater Canyon. And out of nowhere, Kyle meets Dorit. By the way, I know that Kyle absolutely hates Dorit's hair as well, because if you noticed, every single time Kyle greets her, she goes, oh, I recognize you with your hair. Every time Kyle says that, I'm like, you're so shady. So they're on a hike. Out of nowhere, I just write in block capitals, Kim. I didn't even know we were going to get this.
I know. It was a pleasant surprise. And she's an artist.
She did not disappoint. If there was going to be a scene, we only had her for a couple of minutes. And in that, we'd find out that she's just been at home drawing on her walls. I mean, it was beautiful.
She's good at art and she's good at making chicken salad. You know, she's a woman of many talents.
It was great. So they discuss, Kate, this whole thing with Paris's baby and Kathy.
What is this? I missed this.
So we see, she's just said, you know, I've had a great relationship with Kim. We're doing really, really well. And then Kim says, I've just been at home on my own drawing on my walls. Moving on. And then she goes, and I offered... This is great. She's like, and I offered, you know, to Paris that with the baby, maybe I could do the walls, his walls in the nursery. Not unclear if Paris said yes or no to that. I'm thinking she probably said no. But she said, have you seen the baby? And Kim says, I have. And Kyle says, you know what, I wish you'd go into more what happened with Kathy. I guess we know the reunion was terrible and they never spoke after that. But she said, if Kathy's not speaking to me, none of her girls are speaking to me. So, you know, she says, I don't have a relationship with any of them. I haven't met the baby. And that was really, really sad. Then we get a flashback to her telling Mauricio it was really hard to find out Paris had a baby on Instagram. And he like laughed. He was like, ah, yeah. Ugh, I don't know what's going on with those two at all. He's checked out. She's, it's weird. So then they, you know, Kim, they have this walk and then they're very, very close to each other. And she says, I just want you to get back with Kathy. I want stuff to be good again. And they kind of cry. And that was about the end of the relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, the end of the episode, sorry, the end of the episode. But I just think Kyle, I think we really can't underestimate what's going on with her. I think the Mo thing, Morgan Wade thing, you stop me. I don't think any of that has helped her at all, but she's searching. She's searching for something. She's desperately unhappy and she can't land on it. And it's very sad to watch this woman losing her best friend to suicide. Her husband never there. Kid's gone.
I'm obviously they're probably just doing this off camera, but her and Dorit are in kind of similar moods or whatever states, and we don't really see them being on camera being able to like open up about that, so I wonder if that'll come up at some point where they're both just like, oh my god, I am struggling.
See, that's the problem. I think the reason the women, Sutton, I mean, she definitely wants to stir drama. And I think that the reason the viewers are getting annoyed is Kyle's answers questions now complete. Her entire personality has changed. Someone will ask her a question. She doesn't even answer it. She just fires back with another question. You never saw her like that before. Her vocabulary's changed. Like the way she addresses people has changed. You're looking at a different woman and you're looking at a woman that's probably going through trauma or the residual effects of trauma. And it's not a fun and light season. This season is not going to be fun and light at all. Whereas Salt Lake, it needs to win awards, Kate. It needs to win awards. This is its fourth season and it is just giving us everything. Everything. It's unbelievable.
And may it continue to do so.
Absolutely. Well, look, we have been on for hours, but we did need a big one for our big catch up back together. I will say, Kate, there's some very important Bravo news coming. And that news is we have 2 weeks, Kate. And you know what we have 2 weeks until?
What is
it? We have 2 weeks until Ultimate Girls Trip Roni Legacy.
Oh, 2 weeks. Okay.
Kate, that is all the gals. All the gals back.
Holy crap. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to prepare myself mentally and emotionally.
You need to. Kate, why don't you give the listeners the whole spiel of where they can find us, all that good stuff.
Yes. Okay. So you can find us everywhere at Tender Love and Care Podcast. We're on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. You can go to our channel and we upload the video version of our podcast if you want to see our lovely faces. Mm-hmm. And we also have a membership. If you pay $5 a month, you can get a bonus episode twice a month. We cover all kinds of interesting documentaries. And you will also get access to the back catalog. So that's $5 a month. You can sign up on our Patreon, search Tender Love and Care Podcast, and you'll find us. Did I miss anything?
I think that's funny. You can email us tenderloveandcarepod@gmail.com. All the DMs, we are on social media, every single, I'm barely ever on my Instagram anymore, but I'm always on the Instagram for Tender Love and Care. DM us. We respond to every single DM. We love hearing from you. It's so wonderful and beautiful. I will say that I know the schedule's been up and down for the past couple of weeks. And thank you so, so much for bearing with us. I know that we do owe you some Patreon episodes. So Kate and I are going to discuss that. I'm sorry. It's just with schedules and traveling. It's just been a lot. But we are back and we've got, you know, we are into... We're into Christmas season. We're super excited. But we are getting our shit together, essentially, is what I'm saying. So be prepared for a lot of stuff coming your way, a lot of new exciting things as we go into the new year. And we're not going anywhere, people. So that's the main thing that you need to realize and prepare yourself, because it's going to be a lot more.
Thank you so much for being here. Have a good weekend.
Yes.
And we will talk to you soon. Bye, everyone.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.